Now, did you notice how tedious it all was in that passage of Scripture Paul read to you? I mean, weren't you just excited about it? Aren't you all going out and buying yourself a little old spotless lamb just so you can do it later today? I mean, it was every morning, without exception. Every morning, at dawn, mind you. How many of you haven't seen dawn recently? Every morning at dawn, the priest and the elders, hear that, elders? The priest and the elders gathered at the tent of meeting to begin the day by offering the daily sacrifice. A spotless lamb had to be offered first thing every day. Rain or shine, winter or summer, every day the same thing. And then at night, at dusk, when the sun was beginning to set, every night, the priest and the elders gathered again at the tent of meeting to offer the evening sacrifice, rain or shine. Summer or winter, day in, day out, the evening sacrifice, another spotless lamb had to be offered. And it was the same every morning, every night. The daily sacrifices had to be made. It only changed on the Sabbath day each week, the seventh day. On the Sabbath day, the one the scripture calls the day of rest. On that day, the priest and the elders did not get to sleep in late. On the Sabbath day, they got up at dawn and they gathered at the tent of meeting to offer the daily sacrifice, the spotless lamb. And then the Sabbath sacrifice, another spotless lamb. It was not relieved on the Sabbath. It was doubled on the Sabbath. And at dusk on the Sabbath day, they all gathered again at the same place in the evening to offer the evening sacrifice. Two more spotless lambs. There was never a break. Except, of course, when the new moon came. The first day of every month, even if it was a Sabbath day, there were additional offerings to be made. Two bulls, a ram, seven additional lambs, in addition to the daily offering made at dawn and at dusk. These were to be made, and then they were to throw in, for good measure, one male goat. And it went on without a break, day after day after day, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, new moon after new moon after new moon. It never changed. It was the same every day, every Sabbath day, every new moon, day in, day out, without change. It was the same. How monotonous. How tedious. How unbending. To be real honest with you, it's even boring to read. I am so happy we are preaching expositorially through the Bible because we get to do passages like this one. There are some times when you read the passage you're supposed to preach on and you sit there and say, okay, God, so what? And I got to tell you, the question about this passage, which begs to be asked, is, you know it, why? Why would God require his people to do this way, to behave this way, day in, day out, without change? Why? And the answer may surprise you. See, God knows the way we are built as human creatures. This may surprise you. No matter what the scientists say, it was he who made us. So he understands the importance of ritual behavior and discipline in our lives. See, we grow closer to God by practicing rituals and through regular discipline. It's real simple, the why of all this. Israel needed to establish daily religious practices which would remind her that she belonged to God. And guess what? So do we. Mm-hmm. Now, in the New Testament, God outlines what scholars call the spiritual disciplines that Christians need to practice if they truly want to grow closer to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Years ago, when I was back in college and was trying to earn money to, you know, because in college you always need money, one of the things I did was teach archery. Now, that may surprise you because I don't usually shoot bows and arrows anymore, but I did then, and I was good at it, and I got a job teaching kids how to do it. Okay, now, what I remember, this is the horror of my archery shooting life, is that the range in which we shot was tapered so that you stood in the big, tall part in the front, and the targets were, if you were down where the targets were, it was just barely up to you, just a little bit taller than your head, probably 6 feet, so that it looked like it was way far out. Okay, and the first demonstration, I'm explaining to the parents what their kids had learned, and then I was going to show them, you know, and I pulled the bow back, let go, shot the arrow right into the ceiling. Okay, it was like, oh God, I'm fired. Forget archery, it's not going to be my career. Okay, now, here's the deal. Here's why I'm telling you that. See, God does not put us in a dark room and say, okay, what you're supposed to do, the target of your life, is to live your life so that you go closer to me and then turn off the lights. So that when you shoot your bow in the dark room, supposedly to hit the arrow or hit the target, you can't even tell where the target is. Okay, what God does in the scripture, in the New Testament particularly, is very carefully outline the process by which you can establish a ritualistic, disciplined life that will help you grow closer and closer to Jesus Christ. It's all there in the New Testament. The spiritual disciplines. There are two groups of them, believe it or not. The first one is called the disciplines of abstinence. These are literally things that God says we must do to deprive ourselves. Okay? So they're not called disciplines of abstinence because you don't do something. They're called disciplines of abstinence because you're actually depriving yourself of something you may want in order to achieve spiritual growth. The first discipline of abstinence is solitude. Okay? Now, solitude means that you deprive yourself of activity. You don't do anything. Okay, now I am a really bad solituder. Ask Lois. Okay, the only time I can be quiet is when I'm asleep. Okay, which is happening more and more as I get older. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I go crazy being quiet. Okay? I sit and play Spider Solitaire for hours because I can't stand solitude. Okay? Now, what the Bible tells us is that there are times when we need to center ourselves. That's what the Shakers call it. The Quakers and the Shakers call it centering. You just sit down and think about your relationship with God, and you don't do anything. You turn off the tube. You turn off the computer. Okay? You don't even listen to Christian music. You just sit in the presence of God. You deprive yourself of activity. It is the discipline of solitude. The next one is the discipline of silence. You simply shut up. You don't say anybody, not even to God. You are just quiet. Okay, now some of you need to learn this discipline. You just need to stop talking. You know, I don't have it in my pocket. I left it in my office. You know those stupid little things you carry around with you all the time? They are the devil's tool to keep you from shutting up. Okay? And kids, you are hugely guilty of it. They tell me they can even do it inside their sleeve so we adults don't know what they're up to. Okay? We need to deprive ourselves of speaking. There are times when we should just be quiet. I need to tell you that there's a whole body of psychological literature being written now about the effects of denying ourselves or of not practicing solitude and silence. And what they're basically saying is that we are seeing kids who have more behavioral difficulties, okay, diagnosable behavioral difficulties, because they don't know how to stop. Okay, and their brains, which produce serotonin when they're quiet, never produce it. So they are constantly overactive, which is why we have the behavioral difficulties now that we never heard of before. Okay, a whole bunch of information. We need to practice the spiritual disciplines of solitude and silence. The next one is fasting. It means you deny yourself food for a period of time. To learn about the appetites of your body as opposed to the appetites of your spirit. The next one is frugality. That means you deny yourself luxury. I'm sorry, but the poor of us live in luxury. Look at your neighbors in other countries around the world. The next one is chastity. That means you deny yourself sex. You seek to be physically pure. And the next one is secrecy. Okay, now let me explain this with you. It's a little difficult. Okay, when you practice the spiritual discipline of secrecy, you do not allow yourself to collect information that you do not need to have. Number one. And then you do not allow yourself to share that information with other people who need to have it. And you do not gossip or engage with people who do these things. You seek to protect the reputation of others by keeping what you know about them secret. So you don't go blabbing everything to your friend, even if you're using your thumbs. Okay? It is another great problem of our culture. We think we need to tell everybody everything we know. And the last discipline of abstinence is sacrifice. And sacrifice means you simply take some things which are so precious to you that you don't want to give them up, and you give them up for the joy of serving the Lord. It could be time. It could be money. It can be the way you use your talent. You just give it up to serve the Lord. Those are the disciplines of abstinence. But then there are also disciplines of engagement. These are things we do to grow closer to the Lord. The first one is that we study the Word of God. And we study the Word of God two ways. We study it privately every day. And then we join together regularly to study with a group of brothers and sisters who help us make sure that our understanding of the Word of God is correct. The next spiritual discipline of engagement is worship and adoration. And I need to make you understand that that's not what we are doing now, even though we often refer to this as worship. Worship and adoration is a private thing. It is when I gather by myself in the presence of the Lord and fall down on my knees and worship Him for who He is and for what He has done. It is private devotion. The third discipline of engagement is celebration. That's what we're doing now. We have come together publicly to celebrate together the presence of the Lord in our lives. It is to be filled with joy, and we do it together. The next one is service. And service simply means we find time to do things for other people, to make their lives better. The next one is prayer. You know what prayer is. We get down and we talk to the Lord. And then there is fellowship. And that means we get together with each other to have a good time in the Lord. Okay? Not necessarily in worship, but doing other things. The next one is confession. And confession is primarily to God, but it can also be to others. Now, I'm going to just be really honest here. Confession's not what you kids do when you get on your thing. And, oh, I forget the name of it. iPad, pod, phone, whatever that thing is that you use your thumbs to do, and you're telling everybody everything you ever did wrong in your whole life and putting up naked pictures of yourself and doing all kinds of stuff. I know you do it. We all know it happens, okay? It's not what you should be doing, okay? But that's not confession when you're doing that with other people. Confession is between you and God. It's private. It becomes public when you have done something to hurt somebody else, and then you need to go and confess that to them and ask for their forgiveness. It's that simple. Matthew chapter 18 tells you exactly how to do it. The last spiritual discipline of engagement is submission, and it means to the authority of God and to the Word of God, and it is the hardest one of them all. We have to bring ourselves under the authority of God's Word. It's doing what God says we should do, even when what we want to do is play video games, gossip, or sleep in on Sunday morning. Now, it's real simple. Really simple. Okay? I just need to say to you, by the way, if you want to know more about the spiritual disciplines, you want to go get yourself a copy of this book. It's called The Spirit of the Disciplines. The author is Dallas Willard. It ain't an easy read, folks. Many of the readings that you heard this morning in the praise team are his. They came from his book. Okay, Spirit of the Disciplines, Dallas Willard. It's an excellent book to get you moving in the right direction. But the whole theme here is real simple. If you want to grow closer to God, and I assume that you all do because you are here, if you want to grow closer to God, you must practice the spiritual disciplines. There is no other way to grow closer to God. Listen to me. It's in the Bible. God says, this is how you do it. And then you say, oh no, I'm going to grow closer to God by sitting out in the field in the midst of nature and rejoice. You know how many times people said that to me? I don't need to come to church. I can worship God right out there in the field. And it's true, you can. You can worship God out there in nature. Okay, but that's not what the Bible tells you to do. It tells you that you need to celebrate with your brothers and sisters. Do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. It says it. Now, if you think that you're going to find another way to grow closer to God on your own, you are just wrong. Now, I know you don't like that, but it's the truth. The only way you can do it is the way that God has determined. You must follow the path which God has published for us in His Word. Even if it is monotonous, tedious, and maybe even boring. This is what God said we must do. And if you don't, you won't grow closer to Him. Now, I'm going to tell you what the problem with all of us is. We don't like discipline. We haven't liked it from the day we were two. Okay, remember the terrible twos? You all lived through them too. Okay, and they stick. We think that we can ignore what the Bible says and still grow closer to Him. But I'm telling you the truth. You can't. I can't. No one can. It won't happen. Because God says, this is the way.